Hot Plains Baptist Church. I appreciate the messages we've been able to hear tonight already and the messages last night. Turn your Bibles, please, to Proverbs chapter 24 and Romans chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 25 and Romans chapter 1 in the other hand, please. Proverbs chapter 25. Proverbs 25. I appreciate getting to be here again this year in the meeting. Always helps me and encourages me, and I enjoy getting to see my friends, the preach brethren, and get to hear them preach, and all of you. It's a real blessing for us to get to come. Now, let me get something kind of straight right from the first. Now, I'm a country boy. You don't even have to flick your beak to see I'm a hick, you know what I mean? And that's without an apology, too. Southern born, Southern bred, and when I die, I'll be Dixie dead. Amen? Without an apology. I was talking, Brother Tim Green's a good friend of mine, and I was talking to him and Sandy sometime this year, and Sandy was telling me that she was thinking about leaving Tim and putting him out of the house. And I said, now, Sandy, y'all have always been real scriptural people and love God and believe the book. And I said, I can't understand this. And she said, well, I've got a verse in a chapter. And I said, well, let me hear it. And she turned over there to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 22. And he said that you might put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt. And so I had to agree with her. All right, Proverbs chapter 25. I appreciate the messages. And I realize it's pretty early in the week to say something like that. There'll certainly be a rebuttal sometime during the days to come. But we'll try to bear the repercussion of it, all right? Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 25 and then Romans chapter 1. The Bible said this in verse 25, as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. And certainly the gospel is good news tonight, isn't it? Amen. Then in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, the Apostle Paul penned this down under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost and said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. I want to preach a little while tonight on the subject, the greatest story ever told. The greatest story ever told. Brother Ralph Durham, how about you praying for us, brother, right before we preach? Prayer. The greatest story ever told. Paul said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And Solomon wrote, as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so it's good news from a far country. And this gospel tonight is certainly the greatest story I've ever heard, and it's certainly the greatest news I've ever been a part of. You see, here when Paul wrote this in Romans chapter 1, Rome, that great nation, had power and liberty to do almost anything that it wanted to. You see, even Rome had the power to take a king and make a pauper out of him. But the book of Romans here, it had the power to take a pauper and make a king out of him. While Rome, that nation, that dynasty, had the power to take a lady and make a prostitute out of her. But the book of Romans had the power to take a prostitute and make a lady out of her. While Rome had the power to take a free man and they could make a slave out of you. But the book of Romans had the power to take a slave to sin and make a free man out of him. While Rome had the power, they could even take a man's life and murder and kill him. But the book of Romans has the power to take a dead man in trespasses of sin and give him eternal life, and he'll never die. I say to you, the greatest story I've ever heard is about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, maybe it's from a mansion to a manger. It's about streets of gold to a stable sod. It's from royal robes to swaddling clothes. It's from his father's world to a Jewish girl. It's from an angel's praise to shepherd's gaze. It's from that city afar to a wise man's star. It's from perfection to rejection. It's from a throne room of God to swaddling clothes. It's from all that's good and pure and holy to all that's base, humble, and lowly. What a wonderful story it is tonight. I remember how that when I heard it, what it meant to my heart. And do you remember the night that you heard the gospel for the first time? About the greatest story that's ever been on mortal tongue. I want to say tonight, there's several things could be said about this story. Let me move very quickly as I can and give you some things about this story. Can I say, first of all, that it's a tender story. It's tender. A very tender story. I remember some 14 years ago, I was deep in sin and without God and had no intention of ever getting saved or ever going to church or being right with God. And I remember a young man there in my community, just an old outlaw that had got saved. He came to where I lived and got out of his car with a Bible in his hand and walked up to me and he said, Danny, I come to tell you about the Lord and what he's done for me and how he saved me. I noticed this old outlaw had a good clean haircut, had a Bible in his arm and driving a pretty nice car. And I said, I don't understand what's happened to you. And he began to cry and tears run down his face. And he began to explain how that Jesus had came into his heart. And I told him that day, I said, you get in your car and don't you never come back again. I don't never want to hear what you got to say. He got in his car and he drove off. And but you know what he done? He come back. And he drove up in my yard again, and he got out with that good-looking haircut and that Bible under his arm. And he started that same old crying and weeping again. And he started telling me about Jesus and how that he had saved him and washed him and cleansed him. And I said, listen, if you'll quit that crying and that weeping, I'll go to church with you tonight. And I remember how he left with a spring in his tip and a gleam in his eye. And he said, I'll be back at 6:30 to get you and take you to the house of God. I went in the house. I didn't have any clothes to wear. I had never bought any church clothes. And the ones I'd had from a young and I'd grown out of. And all that was there was just a double vested suit. And I'll assure you, I'd never heard of Lee Robertson. That's all I had. I got that thing and I put it on. And I remember the sleeves was way up on my arms and the breeches legs was way up on my legs. I could have waded water and never even got the bottoms of them wet. I remember I put that old suit on and started out beside my old gray-headed mother. She stood there in the kitchen. And I said, Mom, I'm going to meeting tonight. And I heard her say, good son, I'm proud of you. And she walked by me and started back to the bedroom. I know where she's going. I'd heard her pray back there lots of times. And I know where she's going. She's in that bedroom and shut the door, and I heard her make contact with that Savior of hers and begin to pray and talk to God. And I remember as I walked out the door, that was ringing in one ear, and here come an old preacher a-crying, driving up in the other ear. I remember as I got to the car, Brother Eastep, I never will forget, he had this preacher's daughter with him in the front seat and had another preacher and his wife in the back. And I said, "Now, David, you've got women with you tonight. I'll go another time." He just said, "Women, y'all get out." And he started putting them out right there in the driveway. Said, "Get out." I said, "Man, put your women back in the car. I'll go with you. Don't put them out here in the yard." I remember as I crawled in that car, I felt like a dog in the meat market. All them people's living for God, and they all look right and smell right. And there I was, Brother Rex, looking like everything that they wasn't. I sat there, he had that gospel music on, and boy, I just waited, maybe, I thought maybe stop at a stop sign or a red light, I was going to jump out or do something. But it didn't. It's country roads all the way. He pulled up my churchyard, and we got out, and an old man of God, white-headed evangelist, stood in the door. As I walked in, he reached and got me by the hand. And he started that same crying and weeping that other boy had done. And he said, "I'm glad that you're here, son." I said, "Lord God, they've teamed up on me. They know I was coming. But neighbor, they hadn't teamed up on me. It was just the Holy Ghost of God dealing with me. And God had some plans that night that I didn't know about." That old man of God got up and preached about a dying lamb that loved me. He got up and preached about somebody that left the ivory palaces of heaven and came down through a virgin's womb and was born and loved and died for sinners and paid all the sin debt that people could go free. Man, I'm telling you, you talk about a tender story. I stood there and heard it, and I began to weep. I said, "Mama, he loved me that much. He cared for me that much." And I remember as the altar call was given, that tender story found a lodging place in my soul. I remember as I went down to an old-fashioned altar, I didn't know how to pray or what to say. I just bowed down on my knees and said, "God, if you could save somebody like me, I'd like to get saved. I ain't got no money. I ain't got no good name. But if God didn't save me, I sure would like to get saved." About that time, the Holy Ghost of God took my message under to the throne room of heaven. And the Holy Ghost said, "Jesus, that boy wants to get saved tonight." He said, "Nothing in his hands he brings, a simply to the cross he cleaves." Oh, bless the Lord. About that time, Jesus said, Father, would you save him for my sake? And the Father said, "Son, for your sake, I'm going to save him." Oh, glory to God. About that time, the Holy Ghost of God come back to my soul and said, "Son, you're saved." Oh, praise God, neighbor. I didn't shout that night, but I've shouted a lot of nights since then. Got saved. Oh, thank God that night. I didn't know what happened. If I had, I'd have tore the building down, neighbor. I didn't understand that. I didn't know all that God had done for me that night. All I know was that the booger man moved down and God moved in. Oh, my soul. How tender that story was to my heart. Lord, have mercy. I'm telling you, that night God reached up in the portals of glory. I took a piece of heaven's honey and put it deep down in my soul. And tonight I feel like my bees are about to swarm, neighbor. I mean, glory to God. He saved me by his amazing grace. Oh, it's a tender story. Tender. God help you. Ought to have been there when I got home that night and told that old gray-headed saint of God. Oh, you ought to have been there when mother opened that little old back door and I walked in. I'd left lost, but I come back in saved by the grace of God. And me and mama grabbed each other and a little Baptist cast a spell across the kitchen and praise God for his goodness. Well, praise the Lamb forever. That's a tender story, that gospel. Let me say this tonight. It ain't just a tender story. This is a tragic story I'm preaching about. It's a tragic story. You see how tragic it is was that there was grief involved. Them disciples that loved their Savior and watched him do the miracles, watched him heal the sick, give the blind the sight back. Now he's being carried off out of Gethsemane and they're marching him off to crucify, and there's grief in their hearts. There's grief. In the upper room where they gathered, there was grief because of his departure. There's gloom in this tragic story. In the garden, as they marched him out, there's gloom. At Golgotha, at the brow of Calvary, there's gloom. Their Savior is being crucified. And at the gravesite, there's gloom. Can you imagine the one that raised the dead? The one that made a celebration out of Mary and Martha's brother when he laid 4 days in the grave. And now they're celebrating. But now here he is at Calvary. He's hung his head and died. And they marched him off to an empty tomb. And they filled it with the body of Jesus. And they rolled a stone against the entrance. And they marked it with a Roman insignia. And the soldiers are standing guard. And they've got it sealed. Fast and sure. How much gloom could you imagine that would bring? Your neighbor, listen. There's not just grief and gloom in the graveyard, there's glory. Thank God, there's glory. There's glory in this graveyard. There he was. And the tomb is sealed fast and sure. And the devil walks by and he says, "Death, have you got him?" He said, "I've got him. Everything's all right. He's raised the dead, but we've got him back. And now we've got Jesus in the tomb himself." I see Jesus as he went in there on that first day. He signed Death Hotels register. And he signed 2 words and he swung it back around. And Mr. Death said, "I am." What does "I am" mean? He says, "It means I am the resurrection and the truth and the life. And in 3 days, I'm getting up out of here and I'm going to leave it in 3 days. I see the devil as he came by on that second day, and Death standing there confident. He stands there egotistical. He stands there with a flippant attitude and says, "Everything's all right. Oh, we've got him. It's quiet as a mouse around here. Everything's all right, devil. I'm just going about your business." But on that third day, I see him come back. And Death's looking worried. And the perspiration's broke out on him. And he's got that faraway look in his eye. And as he comes by him, the Death says, "Devil, you ain't gonna believe what happened this morning. Jesus come by here. And he took my keys with him. And he's gone." The devil ain't even got the keys to his own establishment. Thank God our Lord rose victoriously. It's victory. And neighbor, because he lives, we shall live also. laid his body in Joseph's new tomb, filled his disciples with sorrow and gloom. But they did not remember what he said, that he must die, but he wouldn't stay dead. Mary came at the break of day. She found the stone was rolled away. She saw an angel in terror fled, told his disciples he didn't stay dead. In that cold, dark tomb, he would not stay. Well, he conquered death and he walked away. Now that old grave lost her fear and dread, he lives again and he wouldn't stay dead. Full atonement and pardon were made, and forever the sin debt is marked fully paid. The price was his blood and it flowed crimson red, and I'm thankful today that he didn't stay dead. So I say, let's go to our churches and let's cry aloud. Let's go to the marketplace and talk to the crowd. Let's go to the mission fields and lie up ahead. Let's tell the whole world, neighbor, that he didn't stay dead. It's a tender story I'm preaching about. This is a tragic story I'm preaching about. But may I say to you, this is a traveling story I'm preaching about. Traveling story. Thank God Mark 16:15 said, he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I mean, this is a traveling story. It's crossed the oceans, frontiers, chopped its way through jungles. It's reached the islands of the sea. It's forged its way in the vast frozen northland. This story's crossed the desert, the valleys. It's climbed the mountain. It's preached on the riverbanks of Philippi, echoed down the streets of London, preached on the deck of the Mayfly, proclaimed on the streets of America, propagated in jails and prison, carried to hospitals, nursing homes, on radio, television. It's been exclaimed from pews and pulpits, from churches, preached to the king's house, to the palace house, to the poor house. His stories travel through continents and countries and cities. It's been through tongues and tribes. I'm telling you, praise God, it's a traveling story. You remember to travel down to your house? Traveling story. Oh, Gamaliel gave the greatest advice that's ever been given by the Sanhedrin when he stood and said that day, if it be a God, we'll find ourselves fighting against God. If it be a man, it'll come to naught. Thank God it's been a God ever since the gospel's been here, and the gospel's travel, and neighbor, it'll travel till the Lord shouts and raptures the church. It'll be a traveling story. Let me say this, it's a transforming story. Oh, yes. It's a transforming story I'm preaching about. It'll change the bitter to sweet, war to peace, sadness to gladness. It'll even change your most doubting Baptist to shouting Baptist. Amen. My God, if it didn't do that, it didn't do anything. If anybody's dried up on the vine today, it's a bunch of Bible-believing independent Baptists. My God, they wouldn't know God if they met him at Walmart, neighbor. They're afraid to shout, praise the praying. They just quiet and mealy-mouth around. A word about Dr. Doodle Digger. Bless God, why don't you take the blind law and shout and praise God and go to a meeting it's paid for? Ain't that good preaching? Somebody said, I'm afraid they'll call me charismatic. I got out shouting the charismatics come to town. I'm going to be a shouting when they leave town. Amen. My God, we ought to praise the Savior and worship him for the goodness of God and what he's done for us. Transforming story. I remember my daddy, he had been married to mama 45 years. And he retired from a steel mill. And he retired, he decided he'd get out and live wicked. Daddy wasn't saved, man. He was always a good moral man. But he got out and he divorced mother and he got real wicked. 60-something-year-old.
just living wicked. I remember the day that he packed up and left home, left everything he had. But when he left, Mama done prayed me in, and she done prayed my sister in, and now we joined with her and started praying Daddy in. And he really wasn't running from us, he was running from God. Well, he stayed gone about 5 years, and one night we was in an old meeting like this, and the preacher's up a preaching, the folks are singing, the shouting, praising God. And when he got done preaching, they give an invitation, and we all got busy working in the altar. And I remember my daddy, he walked in through the back door and got him a seat back on my left. And he was just sitting there, and I got busy and wasn't paying too much attention to him. And all of a sudden, I saw him raise up out of the seat, and he started down the aisle, and he went and got in the altar. And I hadn't been saved long. I've had all that Romans Road memorized. And I was going to give him all of those scriptures on how to be saved. I got down there beside him, and boy, I had my Bible open. I was fixing to really deal with him, and all of a sudden I just stopped and listened to what he's saying. He's saying something like, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Why, I just folded up that little Romans Road, and I stepped back out of the way, and I just waiting on God to hear from headquarters. In about 2 or 3 minutes, my daddy stood up, put both hands in the air, and said, I'm saved. Praise God, neighbor. I'm 10 years a transforming story. At Christmas Eve, I took an old King James Bible. By the way, there never was anything else in our house. I never knew there was an issue that I met y'all. What about that? How's that with your theology? Never did even know there was an issue. I got saved, went home, guess what kind of Bible's in the house? What about that? Ain't that something? Shake your pointed head, amen? Is that good? At Christmas Eve, I took a Bible, that old King James Bible. My daddy got saved in October, and on December the 24th, they marched together there in my home place in the living room of their house that they had built and worked and labored for. I took that old Bible and married my mom and daddy back together again. I'm telling you, transformed them. It changed them. It put that home back together, neighbor. And when Mama died and went home to be with God last year, they were still together. Transformed. Transforming story. Let me say tonight, not only that, but it's a triumphant story. Triumphant. When the Savior bowed his head and said, it's finished. I want to tell you, the Savior was finished with pain and sorrow. He was finished with poverty and suffering. He was finished with the penalty of sin. Thank God when Jesus comes again, he ain't gonna be born in no manger. He ain't coming to some lowly stable. Thank God he's coming in power and glory. The next time he comes, he ain't coming riding on the foal of an ass, but he's coming on a white stallion in glory and splendor. A neighbor, he's finished with all of that. Savior was finished. And then he satisfied the Father. You know why he could say, into thy hands I commend my spirit? Because he knew he had satisfied the Father. He'd kept the law to jot and a tittle. He'd fulfilled every prophecy in the Old Testament. He'd lived a perfect life. And he knew the smile of the Father waited on him on the other side. And he said, it's finished. And then he supplied a fountain. When that Roman soldier walked up to him and put that spear into his side, and they said, we've killed him, we've crucified him. A little did they know, they opened up a fountain that day that's still flowing red tonight. It's still washing the sinner. 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 He's plowed a fountain, neighbor. Thank God, don't make no difference what Dr. Doodledigger says out in California, the blood's still powerful. The blood is still wonder-working power. I don't care what MacArthur says about the blood. He's wrong, neighbor. There's wonder-working power in the blood of God's Son. Hear me. Let me say this and I'm done. Tonight it's a true story. It's a true story. I'm not preaching on no fabricated ideology of mine tonight. I ain't preaching on some kind of intellectual. I was with this guy in a meeting the other day. I ain't gonna tell you where. I was with this guy though. He had graduated six years at Bob Jones. And he walked up to me, and I was preaching behind him every night. And he said, "Now, Brother Chapel," he said, "where'd you get your formal education?" I said, "Well, I done 6 years at Carlisle." I said, "It's a 5-year school, but I done six." He said, "Is that right?" I said, "Oh, yeah." My wife's standing there. She's just about to fall out laughing. And this guy, he didn't know where Carlisle was. See, I had him. He was afraid to say anything, afraid that there really was a Carlisle. So he said, "Well, boy, that's great." I could tell that you had some education behind you. But you see, Carlisle was that little grammar school up there a mile from my house. And it's a 5-year school, but I done six. I liked it. I really liked it. I'd have probably done seven, but I already had driver's license. They refused to let me stay another year. Ain't that good? Yeah. Well, I saw her. You go home now and put that in your dissertation, analogy somewhere to help you. True story. I'm not giving you some fable and that. I'm not telling you about something that's not true. This is a true story about our Savior and how he loved us. Calvary's in full swing. The crowds are gathered around. The soldiers are there. The religious crowds are there. Pharisees, the Sadducees, Sanhedrin's courts made up. They watch from their advantage point. But neighbor, there's another advantage point at Calvary. Somewhere in that celestial city, God the Father sits and watches his Son being crucified. And in my mind, I pictured how that mercy and grace stood beside him. And truth stood in silence. And mercy and grace said, "Father, let us go shed ourselves abroad on him." Father said, "No, not yet." Truth never uttered a word. Truth was waiting on revelation. All of a sudden, Jesus said, "It's finished." And hung his head. And the last breath left his body. Father said, "Now, go." Down through the clouds of time, down through the blue skies, come mercy and grace. Here they come, and they stopped at Calvary, Golgotha's hill, and truth stood with them. And truth reached over and put one arm around an empty tomb, and put one arm around Calvary's brow. And he said, "I'll never leave you again. I'll never leave you." With one arm around an empty tomb and another around Calvary's tree. And for 2,000 years, a truth has been running to and fro and telling this true story of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I'll give you this, and I'm finished. The ladies come and get ready to play. We're going to sing. See, that night 14 years ago when I got saved is the same way you got saved. I fell in love that night with that crucified one. I know nothing of the ivory palaces of God. I know nothing of the premillennial return of Christ. I know nothing of the precious stones that makes up that city. I knew nothing about the river or the tree of life or the leaves for the healing of the nations. I knew nothing about all of that. All I knowed was that old man of God painted a picture in my mind of a sacrifice for my sins. And he said, the price has done been paid. Won't cost you a dime, boy, if you want to go. I said, that was my last excuse. I didn't have a nickel in my pocket. I said, now if it costs something, I can leave. And that old man of God said, it's done been paid for. Won't cost you nothing. I just got up and I said, I'm out of excuses. Here I come. Done been paid for. That wonderful story of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is that he cares and loves you, and he'll wash you and he'll save you. If you want to get saved tonight, if you'll come to Calvary, how to get the job done. Let's stand and sing.